Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
A little after 5 o'clock here on this Monday. We got no local hockey teams playing. The Knicks are at Madison Square Garden against the Wizards. What a weekend for Madison Square Garden. They host Knicks-Nets Friday night. Game I was at, Jalen Brunson hits the game winner, and then Mikal Bridges blocking Dennis Schroeder at the buzzer. Very painful for me. So
the Nets still in the league?
Me and 12 other people. Like, there were no Net fans at Madison Square Garden on Friday. Then, on Saturday, they host the MMA event late Saturday night. Who's on that card? I don't know anything
John
about
John Jones. John Jones and Stipe Miocic.
Okay.
Yes, Miocic. Yes.
Then on Sunday
who
early
won that,
afternoon.
By the way? John Jones.
John Jones won. Yeah. I know whoever was champion won. Then on Sunday, they have St. John's, the Patino battle. And then Sunday night, Knicks Nets again. I mean, Madison Square Garden is a rocking facility, but I'll tell you why it's a horrible facility that my 8-year-old never wants to go back to. Hmm. We'll address that coming up at about 5:15, but it is Cinco de Fivo.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Re-up those season tickets, Ev. Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything, everywhere, and by Mercedes-Benz of Morristown. Visit us online at 888thebenz.com. Hey, oh, Tommy DeVito is back as the Giants starting quarterback.
Tommy D.
Which, of course, led people to quarterback takes today, but also led people to what are we tailgating with at MetLife on Sunday? What are you making at home to honor this? Tommy DeVito goes hand in hand with food. So I'm here to give you, without debate, the 5 best Italian foods, if done right, to eat.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Let's go.
All right. I got Tiki's interest. Let's go.
Here we go.
Number 5.
Fresh Italian bread with olive oil. Don't sleep on it because it's not a meat or a vegetable. But man, if you get a good Italian bread and you dip it in that,
yeah, I can get down with that.
That could just also fill you up. Right. I would just go to town on that and I'd be done.
That little olive oil dunker. Oh,
grated cheese in the olive oil.
Oh, forget it. A little Italian seasoning. Okay, here we go.
Number 4.
Remember, this is, if done right, calamari, or as some like to say, galamar. Nice and crispy, no rubbery bands. Very good. And I'm a tentacle guy.
Can't go tentacles. That's a bad one.
No, it's a good mix. The tentacles aren't bad if done right. Crispy. You get Evan's never had calamari in his life.
No, I have. I'm not a calamari fan. I don't want to rip it because I know a lot of people like it. I don't like calamari. I think it sucks.
See, then you did rip it. You just said it sucks.
Because you goaded me. Like, you're confused. Like, why is Evan not saying anything? Is he disgusted by me right now? No, I love it. I respect that on the list. I'm not arguing with you. Just personally.
What if it was grilled?
I've tried fried calamari. I've tried every kind of calamari you could have. It's disgusting. You're eating like this squishy fish. It's just like, ugh.
I just want to bring Cinco's together here. Not even a week ago, Evan said, how could your number one appetizer not be Friendly's Munchie Mania?
Correct, yes.
But I'm giving you an if done right, calamari is the 4th best Italian food, and you're telling me disgusting.
Here's the problem. You're goading me. It's like if you put the Sopranos on some kind of list.
So you'd rather have a Munchie Mania from Friendly's than the best calamari in the world?
1,000%. Mm. I respect the popularity of Sopranos, just like I respect the popularity of the calamari. I personally find it deplorable. Mm. So what do you want me to do? I'm telling you how I feel. I'm not telling you you should need a calamari. I'm telling you I find it to be disgusting. It actually gives me like the creepies just thinking about it.
Such a sophisticated palate you have, Evan.
Yeah, I am very sophisticated.
Well, Evan, hopefully the next one's up your alley.
Number 3.
Rigatoni.
Oh, yeah.
For me, this is the best pasta hands down. Whatever sauce is fine, but that rigatoni shape, the ridges, feels on the tongue great.
Oh, my God.
I tongue bathe things of rigatoni.
Totally with you.
All right, here we go.
Number 2.
Chicken parm. Classical, crispy, thin slice, good sauce. When that cheese melts with the brown bubbles on it, the perfect.
So,
the best.
I love chicken parmesan, obviously. I think we all do. All right.
It's easy. You can have it anytime.
Exactly. But again, if it's done right, I think it's that good.
So he's right. When it's done right, it's the greatest meal ever created. But, Tiki, when it's done wrong, it's a disaster.
Agreed.
I went to an Italian restaurant a few years ago. I would never say the name. Can't be disrespectful. That chicken parmesan was one of the worst, flattest, just rubbery things I've ever eaten. And it ruined me on chicken parms for like 6 months.
Have you ever had the restaurants where they do the flattened chicken parm pizza style, where the chicken is the pizza with the sauce and the cheese, but it's like at good Italian restaurants?
No.
What?
Oh, no.
So the dough is
instead
the chicken.
Of the dough, it's pounded down tenderized chicken that they breast it out into a circle.
Never heard that.
Oh. No. I would try that, but never heard of it. No.
Very good. All right, here we go.
Number one.
And in honor of Tommy DeVito returning under center, the best Italian food, if done right, is the cannoli. Mm. The crunch, the cream, the best.
Mm. There you go. Are you Italian, by the way?
Best. Mm. All right, good.
No, Tiki, if you disagree, that's the point of the list. Give me a number one Italian food.
I'm just not saying it's the number one. It's cannoli?
Yeah.
How about meatballs?
I know, right?
How about meatballs and pasta? How about pizza? I mean, how about a really damn good pizza?
Do you count pizza?
That in the top five. What do I mean, do I include pizza? Why? How about a chicken roll? Oh, I love it. Chicken roll is actually my number one personally.
Italian food?
Yeah. Why is that not Italian?
Cannoli?
Okay. Are you serious?
It's dessert.
But that's still an Italian dessert. If done right, if you live in New York City, these cannolis are around, eh?
I know, but if I had a table full of Italian food and I could only take one thing, I'm not taking the cannoli.
Are you serious?
I'm not.
If
I'm hungry and I need to eat, and there's a table full
but
of
taste,
all
the taste.
Yeah, but it's fleeting. It's not
fleeting.
Is it all?
Shows the DeVito era. But we're into it. All right, that's Cinco de Five.
All right, thank you, Sean.
Yes, I am Italian.
Cinco de Five. Now, speaking of food, I'll get this out of the way right now because I am still so disgusted by this. So Friday night, I went to Madison Square Garden with Jet, my oldest son, to see Knicks Nets. Very exciting. By the way, for the kid, it was a wonderful game. For me, it was not a wonderful game. For those that don't know, Knicks had a 22-point lead. Nets came back, took the lead. Jalen hits the three. Bridges blocks Schroeder at the end. There was a lot of challenges in the final few minutes of the game. It was a very long game. Great win for the Knicks. I wouldn't say great win for the Knicks. Mm-hmm. A win for the Knicks. Horrible loss for the Nets. This has nothing to do with basketball. So I take my son to Madison Square Garden. I say, whatever you want to eat, son. Okay? Whatever you want to eat. I know what Dad wants. Dad's going to have those hoagies on the Chase Bridge.
Yep.
They sell these great, just wonderful sandwiches. So I said, Jet, what do you want? He's like, the only thing I want, Dad, is chicken fingers.
Oh, you can get that anywhere.
I said, but you know what? That's fine.
Okay.
Chicken fingers it is. So I go to the concession stand on the Chase Bridge. No chicken fingers. They got a hot dog. They got some pizza. No chicken fingers. I said, don't worry, Jet. This is an arena. We'll be fine. We go down to the blue seats. You know, they got the concessions there. Kind of small, but they're there. Go there. Same crap. Hot dog. No chicken fingers.
Wow.
Jet is now getting deeply concerned. I use this to my advantage and say, son, we never have this problem at Barclays Center where the Nets play.
Stop.
And he's like, yeah.
So what did you end up eating?
Well, we go down to the lower level.
But what did he eat?
Well, we go down to the lower. I'm not giving up yet. We go down to the lower level because I'm sure someone's going to tell me, oh, it's because you're upstairs, Evan. They don't put the chicken fingers upstairs. By the way, horrible excuse, but whatever. I'm now on the lower level walking around the bowls of Madison Square Garden. No chicken fingers!
And the whole building?
Well, I didn't get to see the entire building. So if someone tells me, oh, they're behind section 112, I didn't get there. But I tried the lower level. I walked around. No chicken fingers. He was pissed.
So what did he eat?
At first, he's like, I'm not eating anything. I said, son.
And then he's starving.
I said, son, you got to eat something. I'm sorry. I know mama's not here, but Dad's here. We're eating something. He settled for a pretzel. And while the pretzel was nice and solid.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4. Charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Madison Square Garden, I respect you. I'm a customer of yours. I love your building. I love my season tickets. Can you put some more chicken fingers around Madison Square Garden? Tiki, unacceptable.
Maybe there was a chicken recall that happened at some place around the country. I don't know. There's a carrot recall going on right now. So
a carrot recall?
Maybe there's a chicken recall that's going on. I don't know.
Our
food supply is compromised, right?
I'm going to Barclays Center tomorrow night for a big NBA Cup game between the Brooklyn Nets and the Charlotte Hornets.
And you'll find out.
You bet your ass there'll be chicken fingers there. There's no excuse for this.
There were chicken fingers at MetLife yesterday.
Well, that's because MetLife Stadium knows how to make their patrons happy. Madison Square Garden is all, we're the world's most famous arena. We don't have to give you real food.
They have chicken fingers. They're at Foku. My sister got them.
Where is Foku?
I think there's a couple of them.
Yesterday?
Well, no, she got them at the Ranger Panther game like 2 weeks ago.
Oh.
So there are chicken fingers.
Yeah.
They're just tough to find.
Well, I would say this.
Can you make it easy to find
their stadium? A hot dog, a pretzel, a sausage and peppers, and an order of chicken fingers and fries should be within 10 feet of everybody's seat.
That's my point. That's why I'm not accusing that they don't have it. I'm saying you're making it difficult to find. We spent 25 minutes walking around Madison Square Garden trying to find freaking chicken fingers. That's un-American.
Now, this is where I think, as a father, if you cooked a little more yourself, your son might have a bigger palate.
Well, what are you blaming me for? That he didn't want to eat anything else?
Yes.
Listen, I have
you're living with a chef. You got to cook as the father and teach him how to like things.
I have two sons. I have one son in Jet who's very picky. He don't eat anything. It's like a fight to get him to eat. And then I got a second son. Let me tell you about Spence. He'll go to town on anything.
He'll eat sushi or whatever.
Hey, you put it in front of him, he's like, let's go.
But here's the thing. Your son idolizes you. He wants to go to these games with you. You know what he doesn't see? His dad with a pair of flip-flops and a spatula on that grill.
Right. Well, so wait, what did you
food.
Eat?
What did I eat?
What did you eat?
I had the Italian.
And he didn't want to try it?
I was offering him pieces of salami, pieces of ham, wanted nothing to do with it. He was focused on chicken fingers.
He's trying to get him to eat.
I am trying. And blaming me
for example, he's doing the right thing.
And blaming me for not.
I'm just trying to take a run at him.
Blaming me for not cooking is irrelevant.
I know. What does that have to do with chicken fingers?
This has to do with Madison Square Garden. I understand you're a Ranger fan, so you don't want to join in on ripping them. This has nothing to do with the teams. I have great respect for the Garden.
Maybe they shouldn't get the shipment in yesterday.
What?
Maybe they didn't get the shipment in.
Why are you making excuse? What do you work for, Dolan now?
I find it impossible to believe that Madison Square Garden had no chicken fingers.
Bro, I went to 18 different concession stands.
Okay,
they
had to have had chicken fingers.
Yeah, somewhere
else.
How
many kids go to events? And I'm not just talking about the sporting events. I'm talking about like Sesame Street Live and everything else in between. Yeah. Escapades.
Can't make this difficult.
And they don't have chicken fingers?
Well, again, I think they have chicken fingers. I think that they're not as readily available as they should be, which, as Sean said, I agree with them, at every concession stand.
Now, let me ask you something. We all agree we know Evan well here at this point.
Yes. Too well.
Do we think Evan would ever miss the tip-off of a Knicks-Nets game he has tickets to?
No.
No.
Okay, what time did our show end on Friday?
6:20.
6:23, let's call it.
Okay.
Get to the car, get up to the parking and everything.
I can tell you the exact times of everything. Go ahead.
The idea and the goal you have to tell the audience that you had time to go to 18 different concessions, it's no chance.
I'll tell you why.
You lie. You sit on a throne of lies.
I'm going to tell you why. And this boggled my son's mind, too.
Before tip-off?
I got to Madison Square, where I park on
good
at
catch,
MSG.
Sean. Good catch.
Well, no, I'm going to tell you right now.
18, he claimed.
I got to 8th Avenue and 29th Street, where I found a parking spot, at 6:33.
Okay?
It took like 11 minutes for the show to end for me to get to my car to pull up. So 6:33. Now, there's a meter till 7. Screw the meter. All right, I'm living life dangerously. If you give me a ticket, I get a ticket.
Right. That's a good example.
It's better than parking in a garage.
You're damn right. So I get outside, I go right in. There's nobody there yet because we're early. I was upstairs walking towards my Chase Bridge by, I would say, 6:53. Tip-off was at 7:40. We had 47 minutes, and you damn right. We were hitting every concession stand. It was the immediate thing we did. How slow do you think we are?
So we got everywhere, and we had enough time after I finally bought him the pretzel and the sandwich to sit down and actually eat our full meal even before the game started.
So I've been to Nick games with Evan. He has it down to the science. He's telling the truth.
Thank you, Tommy.
He knows the parking spot. He does get there in 10 minutes if there's no traffic to Midtown. It's not a big deal. But you need to apologize to the audience. I'm going to give you this opportunity.
Go ahead.
So those sandwiches you eat on the little bridge there,
yes,
they are paninis. But are we doing a show in Philadelphia or New York?
What did I say? I called it a hoagie?
Dad's going to have those hoagies.
Hero, yeah, sandwich, hoagies are for the hyenas.
Lugie's right. Mm. This is a...
How could you make such a mistake?
It's not a mistake. It's something I do all the time, and I don't know why. It's the one, like, verbiage I use.
Why?
That's very... I don't know.
Did they call them that in Baltimore? Maybe they poisoned your mind down there?
I'm a big hoagie guy, and I shouldn't be.
Maybe.
I think they do call them hoagies.
I know hoagie from being in Virginia as well.
You think I got like spoiled by living in Maryland for 5 years?
Maybe.
Yeah.
A little bit of Southern influence.
Well, Tommy's right, so I want to take this time to apologize to the audience. I don't know why I call it hoagies. I've been doing this for years. Craig used to hate it. Tommy hates it. Everybody hates it. I'm sorry. It's a hero. It's a sandwich. I apologize to the great city of New York.
Okay, now apologize to Madison Square Garden. Where did you sit on Saturday?
Face Bridge.
Oh, boy.
Okay, the chicken fingers are in section 304 right behind the bridge.
No way! I went everywhere!
This is what I've been told by multiple people on Twitter.
Dude, my seats are 313. A 304 ain't that far away.
Well,
and we walked everywhere looking for
downstairs. You went downstairs too quickly.
I went upstairs at first, then I went downstairs.
All right.
Well, I'll know for the next time. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I was still angry. It still pissed me off all day. Let's go to Doc, who's calling from Wayne. How are you, Doc? Hello, Doc.
Working back.
All right, Doc is, maybe he's with a patient.
That's funny.
That's a good one. Let's go to John in Huntington. How are you, John?
How we doing, boys?
What's up, man?
Tiki, longtime Giants fan. Thank you for all your, many moments of greatness, and I'm also a cheer dad.
I appreciate it. Oh, yeah?
Nice.
Where's your daughter cheer?
Yeah.
Or son?
Daughter, 7-year-old, Long Island cheer. She's level 2.
Wow,
so.
Excellent. Excelente. Maybe nice. We'll see you along the way sometime. Cheer season is about to kick off.
Yes, it is, possibly. But what I wanted to get to is, with the Giants and hopefully staying in the top 5, hopefully the top 10, I think the draft pick we need more is a cornerback. We got 2 all-time corners coming out in this draft.
Right.
The quarterbacks are suspect at best. And if we can keep the corners in range and get one of them, I think it totally changes our defense. And then even in the late first, early second, there's 2 defensive tackles, Deion Walker, I believe, Teak.
Yeah.
He's at Kentucky.
Yep.
And then another guy at Ohio State, another massive D-tackle. And those 2 guys on our defense, with how close they are, could totally change everything with our defense, and we could slow play the offense going down the road. And Arch Manning is within reach.
But that's 2 years from now. Can you have another
year and a half from now?
Well, it's another football season not having a quarterback.
Right, he's thinking of Tyleek Williams, who is at Ohio State, a D lineman. He's one of the top 30 prospects. And then Deion Walker from Kentucky. I haven't seen either one. I've seen the kid from Ohio State, but I haven't seen Deion Walker play from Kentucky yet. But he's right about the cornerbacks. I mean,
well, Travis Hunter and the kid from Michigan.
Right, Will Johnson from Michigan. So he's right about the cornerbacks, but I think the Giants have done okay with their cornerback room so far.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, assuming Deontay Banks gets himself right and back to a high playing level, and Drew Phillips is one of the best slots in the NFL, and he's a rookie, and your safety is good, and Newbin. So you've done all right in the secondary department. The question is, how do you find the quarterback?
Yeah,
now, maybe it's Tommy DeVito. I mean, it might be. But Sean and I were talking about this in one of the breaks. Like, if he craps the bed and the Giants lose, then you're set, right? They go 2 and whatever. You're whoever the coach is, mm-hmm. whether it's Dave's or whoever ends up replacing him. If like Evan says, they can't withstand a 2-15 finishing record, at least you're going to draft one of the good quarterbacks
right.
in this year's draft.
If you're picking in the top 2.
If you're picking in the top 2. But if Tommy DeVito is fantastic and he, I don't know, he's aggressive and he wins 6 games, and all of a sudden it's like, All right, I know we've moved down because we've won too many games, but at least you have a semblance of someone you can call your starting quarterback.
Yeah, but here's the problem, and this is a horrible situation, but it's just the reality. If Brian Daboll and Joe Shane are back running the New York Giants,
yes,
they have to take a quarterback in the first round. Even if that guy,
I don't think
is,
so, man.
I
don't think you can reach. I think that's how you end up getting yourself fired when you reach for a guy, because now you necessarily have to talk glowingly about him.
No, I get that it's not good to reach, but they haven't taken their quarterback, and this is going to be their fourth year here. How many years do they get before we get True. To judge them on the quarterback they've taken?
Oh, I don't. I'm not disagreeing with you, but if you take Jalen Milroe, who is flying up the charts, and He's kind of a winner, but he doesn't project as a great starting NFL quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And you take him and he stinks and he just never figures it out. Like, what have you done?
Not only
have you cost yourself a job, you set the franchise back again.
And if you
and
don't,
the thing that I said earlier, and it's, this is the most important thing. If you draft a quarterback in the first round and you're looking for your franchise, you can't miss. It sets you back a decade.
I completely agree,
you
but that's the predicament they're in because let's say
okay, you're... Okay, so if you're in that predicament, don't take the quarterback.
And then what? And then what?
Band-aid it.
But this regime can band-aid it?
Or...
Their fourth year here, they're still going to band-aid it at quarterback?
Future draft picks for one of these guys, Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders, who you really believe in.
Well, that's the best option. I completely
really
agree with
kind
you.
That is really kind of the
only option. Look, I agree in theory that I wouldn't want to reach just because I feel like I need to draft a quarterback, but when you're in the fourth year of a regime, don't you feel like they have to? They haven't drafted a quarterback yet.
I agree. Yes, they definitely
That's
do.
What sucks about the situation. I'm admitting this. I'm not saying this is ideal, but I think they've boxed themselves in a spot where they have to take a quarterback, even if it's a guy that they don't fully believe in. Now, you're right. The best option is just trade as many assets as you can, get up to 1 and 2, and draft a guy that you do believe in.
Right.
Because if that quarterback hits, whatever you give up will be worth it. I can promise you that. It does not matter. You can give up first-round picks in perpetuity. If you nailed the franchise quarterback and that guy's Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes, it doesn't matter.
Right.
Like, if you told the Kansas City Chiefs a decade ago, well, less than a decade ago, but when they traded up with Buffalo, you're going to give up every first-round pick for the rest of the time, but you're getting Patrick Mahomes.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't every Chief fan say, okay.
Yeah, because they'll figure it out.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Right.
We got our franchise quarterback. We're good.
Right.
But I think that's the kind of dangerous predicament this regime is in if they're back. I think they've been boxed into a spot where they're going to have to draft a quarterback, and the description you described, which is not ideal, drafting someone you don't believe in because you feel you have to,
yep.
I think that's the spot they're in.
Yeah, but that's how you lose. That's how you create. You make it worse for not just you, but for whatever regime comes after you.
Well, I don't think they're thinking about the next regime. I think they're thinking about themselves.
Not, but the owner is.
And I just want to add on, I don't think it has to be a decade killer anymore, the way the Jones situation had. I think New England becomes a model now. If you know the quarterback is not the quarterback after 2 years like Mac Jones, get out of there and let's get a new quarterback and just keep throwing darts until you
I've always it. Thought that, man. I draft a quarterback every year till I find the right guy. Let's go to Will in Hoboken. How are you, Will?
Evan, how's it going?
Good.
I saw you at the game on Friday.
Yeah.
I walked past you. I said, let's go Knicks.
And what did
told
I say?
You have a good time.
What did I say? Was I nice?
You just rolled your eyes and shook your head. Probably because I was probably the millionth Knicks fan to come up to you and say that.
Now, I'm proud of my reaction, by the way. That's a good reaction to roll my eyes at you and say, all right, yeah, let's go Knicks my ass.
Yeah,
let's go Knicks.
It was all right. There's chicken fingers on the bridge. If you just walked the bridge, you would have found chicken fingers. Mm-hmm. I don't know what you're doing going to the 100 level or the 200 level, but if you just follow the bridge, you'll find chicken fingers.
I was on the bridge looking for chicken fingers. I went through my whole back area, and I had nothing.
But
I got to circle the entire bridge?
Well,
is that the problem? I got to go to the other side of the freaking bridge?
Well, here's maybe what happened. You were there too early. I'm being serious.
They weren't fried up yet.
They weren't ready yet. They're not going to fry chicken fingers and leave them there for 40 minutes while everybody's not there yet.
Well,
maybe you're this too early.
So I was too early. That's what backfired on this.
Uh-huh.
God. All I know is the story's great for my son to believe that Madison Square Garden doesn't have chicken fingers, because any risk of him becoming a Knick fan is dead.
And that's what it all boils down to.
Well, I mean, it's a nice benefit. You know, Jalen hits that game winner, there's a chance he would have been like, this is cool. Actually, that didn't happen at all.
Right.
He realized Knick fans were obnoxious. It was a good experience. Though, truthfully, most Knicks fans are very nice people.
Mm-hmm.
I had a good time with them on Friday night. Sunday, different story.
You
Friday, wonderful.
Them, this nice fellow listener says hello to you, and you basically tell him to go scratch.
Well, think about it.
Hello? You want a picture?
I disagree. Will handled his interaction with me the way he wanted to, which is, let's go Knicks, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I responded in kind. There were other people I ran into who said things such as, hey, are we getting Soto? I got that five times.
Right.
There were a few people
that
said,
happily engage in a conversation.
And I did. I had a few people say, what's Tiki like? And I happily did. Yeah. Tiki's a great guy. I had a few people playfully tell me the Nets suck.
Let's go Knicks.
But then say, hoping for a good game. I really don't hate the Nets. Love the show. This guy just said, let's go Knicks. So what the hell am I supposed to do? Hug him? Make out with him? Like, great, good for you. Let's go Knicks. Have a good time. Like, what do you want me to do?
But let's say he wasn't a fan of the show and didn't know who you are. You're at a Knicks game and you're a Knicks season ticket holder.
I'm decked out in Nets stuff. They knew exactly what I was there for.
Who knows what Nets stuff is? You're wearing a black hoodie.
It said, first of all, it was old school, so it was
you were in the old school red, white, and blue one, right?
Yeah, I was going very colorful in the past. There were about, I counted, because my wife was playing a game when she got bored in the second quarter. She was counting all the Net fans she saw Sunday night.
Okay.
And she came up with seven.
She's like, seven?
Yeah, she found seven.
What?
Yeah, seven Net fans. Including
there
one,
had to be more than that.
Including one wearing a DeAndre Jordan jersey.
Wow.
The Nets still in the league.
Probably would have been 12 if not for Chiefs.
That probably wasn't a Net fan.
Really?
That was just somebody who had a DeAndre Jordan
DeAndre Jordan Nets jersey of all jerseys. We'll come back with more of your calls. We'll get into the idea of going for two up seven. Plus, a prominent NFL player, not on one of our teams, decided to absolutely destroy his head coach. We'll listen to the audio and decide if he went too far. Last night, the week got capped off by a good one between the Cincinnati Bengals and the LA Chargers. Evan McPherson missed a couple of field goals late. And the Bengals, who had a great comeback, weren't able to close. They lost to the Chargers 34-27. And Ja'Marr Chase was asked after the game about the Bengals' inability to close. Take a listen to his answer, Tiki, and tell me if this is a complete rolling over the head coach job. Like a complete screw everyone, I'm out to get Zach Taylor. Here's Ja'Marr Chase on the Bengals' issues at closing games.
We just got to find ways to finish.
You've seen him in that.
Finish. Like, I've heard everybody obviously knows you need to do. Like, what do you do?
How do I do it? I don't know. Ask Zach. Ask the coaches. Don't ask me. That's not my job.
To finish?
I play football on the field. I don't call plays for us, you know? So I can't really do nothing.
You think that's part of the finishing factor is plays stuff?
I don't know.
You've seen him?
I wasn't saying nothing.
What do you think of that? I mean, I think he's frustrated, clearly. And he had a great game again.
Two touchdowns, yeah.
Two touchdowns. I forget the exact number. 75 yards. Coming off of couple weeks ago where he had 270-something. T. Higgins had a great day yesterday. 148 yards and a touchdown. So they put things together. But their record is what their record is. They're 4-7. And so they're not outside of the postseason window right now, but
they're in the hunt graphic.
But they're also like, you're good, but you can't beat good teams.
Well, yeah, and they can't close games, which is the ultimate problem.
Yeah, but I can't even like put this into closing games. I mean, they were down 24-6, right?
But then they came back and were in position to win.
Of course, but how do you get down 24-6?
Right.
So I know it's easy to just say, our comeback fell short, but you started like crap too.
Yeah. No.
So what is it? I don't know. They're one of those weird teams. It has the quarterback that you need. They have the running back and Chase Brown. They have good wide receivers. Their defense probably isn't as good as it could be, but still, obviously it's not because you go up 34 points to the Chargers. Not that the Chargers aren't bad, but they're not known for their offense. They're known for being a great defense. They got the best defense in football. So to me, this is Ja'Marr Chase being frustrated and having to say something. Even though he probably should just skip it and get fined if he's going to do that.
The something sounded like, right. When you say, go ask Zach,
right.
As in your head coach's first name.
Again, skip it and go get fined.
Right.
Take the fine. It's minimal compared to the amount of money you're going to be making soon. Even though he's not paid yet.
No. Not yet. Yo, he hasn't gotten a big contract yet, Ja'Marr Chase, has he?
Oh, he will.
Oh, I mean, absolutely. When you start referring to someone by their first name very quickly, that's like a... Did you ever call Tom Coughlin Tom? Like, go as Tom.
No.
Yeah.
I always said coach.
Because you knew. You're like, if I'm mad at him, I'm not going to make it obvious. Ja'Marr Chase made it obvious.
I don't even know if I was talking to him directly if I ever called him Tom.
But that's the way Ja'Marr said it.
I know.
Zach. And he said it, too, like he hates him. Zach.
Well, he probably hated him in the moment.
Well, yeah, no, I get you.
I mean, he better stop hating him because he's going to be part of why you get paid and stay with the Cincinnati Bengals. So chill out.
And the guy you should hate, I hate to say it, is Evan McPherson. Yes. I don't know what's going on with past good kickers, because even Justin Tucker.
Right.
Justin Tucker is one of the best kickers of all time. He's probably a Hall of Famer. I think Justin Tucker has probably earned that he's going to go to Canton someday as a Hall of Fame kicker. And God knows there aren't a lot of kickers in the Hall of Fame. He goes out and misses multiple field goals the other day against Pittsburgh. So I don't know what's in the water or what's going on, but it seems like we've seen a regression with kickers.
Yeah, and this wasn't an easy. This was not. I don't want to say it's easy because it's never easy, but it's a 48-yarder. He missed a 48-yarder. Talking about McPherson.
Yes, he missed two of them.
And then a 51-yarder.
Yeah, yeah.
Both wide left?
Yeah.
Yeah, both wide left.
With no elements.
Right. And all year he's been struggling, too. It's not like it's a new phenomenon. So, look, when you're 4-7 and you're that talented, because the Bengals are that talented, there's a lot of things that go into it, and having a kicker struggling is certainly one of them.
They still could have lost the game because the Chargers would go down and score a touchdown.
It's a different mentality, though.
True. How? You're still trying to stop them.
It's a tie game as opposed to being got down by 3 or 6. Don't you think it's a little different? Isn't the mentality different?
I think it's probably even more urgent.
There's more pressure on you now. You're losing a game as opposed to it being a tie game.
Yeah, I guess so. But
And remember, that was a 3-touchdown lead they blew, so that could be the momentum in collapse, too. Then the Bengals really have
right,
the lead.
Gave it back to them. By missing field goals, you give the momentum they lost right back to them.
By the way, speaking of which, and you called the Jet game the other day, and it turned out not to matter if you fall down the whole, this is how things played out. So Aaron Rodgers wanted the Jets to go for two after they scored the touchdown to go up 7.
Yes.
So going for two and succeeding makes it a 9-point game, 2-possession game.
Right.
You kick the extra point, which they did. It's an 8-point game. It's a 1-possession game.
But they have to get the 2 points. Conversion.
Right. Now, the Jets and Aaron Rodgers wanted to go for two. It's actually very interesting. Lugie, get Aaron Rodgers' audio, because his answer on why he wanted to go for two and what changed is also fascinating. But if you remember, they score the touchdown, they go up 7. Aaron signals the two fingers. I want to go for two.
Yep.
And then they end up kicking the extra point to go up by 8. Listen to what Aaron Rodgers said in terms of going for two versus kicking the extra point.
I like going for two in that situation when you're 7, can go up 9. The reason I was thinking is we'd had a conversation on the sideline about it, and I was under the impression that the decision was before the drive, we're going to go for two. Now, something changed in the meantime, so the hardest part, and we know it, we've had a delay game on a 2-point, is to get everybody back. So I just assumed two and looked over and couldn't really tell. It looked like they were holding up 1. I was a little confused because I thought we talked about going for 2.
Wow. Talk about throwing your coach under the bus.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's worse than Ja'Marr Chase.
Oh, you
at least Ja'Marr Chase is like, go ask him.
Right.
Aaron Rodgers is like, well, we talked about going for 2, and we didn't go for 2, so that's...
And then he even goes further with the whole, well, you know, we have time of clock management. I was kind of confused. I don't know what happened. Something changed. I don't know what the hell changed, because if the Jets are talking after they force a 3-and-out and they get the football back 17-16, okay, so they're up by a point, they get the ball back, and you have a break, because remember, it's the end of the third quarter, so you even have time to talk it over again.
Yes.
And your plan is, hey, if we score a touchdown and go up 7, we're going to go for 2 early fourth quarter. What possibly could have changed in those 4 plays? That's why when we talk about this head coach, this interim head coach, and this quarterback, it still feels like things are not on the same page at all, because you got Aaron saying, well, he said we were going for 2. I was all for it. Then something changed. Well, what changed?
Well, I mean, we always talk about this when we talked about Bill Belichick. Why was he so great? It wasn't, I mean, is he the greatest coach and schemer and everything? Maybe.
But it certainly was, as a defensive mind.
Right. But it was more situational football.
Mm-hmm.
Like every single moment that the New England Patriots had to make the play to win, the decision was right, and the execution was right.
Right.
And so you could tell that it was thought out, it was prepared for, practiced, and nobody was, I don't know, guessing when the moment came.
They all knew.
And you don't know when that moment's going to come, but when it comes, the last thing you can do is be like, oh, we're going for 2. I don't know. Just kick it. right?
That's what happened.
So situational football is what wins and loses games, especially in the NFL. How many of these games come down to one possession?
Yeah.
We talk about this all year about the Jets losing one possession games, the Giants are 1-5 in one possession games. Like, it comes down to like those little tiny minute details in a situation that's going to determine the outcome of the game. And the Jets weren't ready for it. Now that was one that was before the end of the game, but, I mean, it mattered.
It's funny if you play along with, okay, going for two. So the risk of going for two is that if you get it, it's a two-possession game. Great. If you don't, it's still a seven-point game. The other team scores a touchdown. Very likely they're going to tie the game. If you kick the extra point, it's an eight-point game.
Yep.
So you're forcing the other team to convert on a two-point conversion. Jets kick the extra point. Colts, when they score a touchdown, go for two but fail. So if you follow along, everything would have played out the same way.
Right.
Than that. If the Jets go for two, they're up nine. Colts score a touchdown, they probably just kick the extra point. And guess what?
They're down two. Right, it didn't matter.
So ultimately, this did not matter, but it reveals a lot when Aaron Rodgers walks you through. And I don't think he's doing this to be malicious. I know we all give Aaron Rodgers a lot of credit. He's so smart. He knows what he's doing. I think he was genuinely answering a question.
Yeah.
And by the way, did you signal two?
By the way, that's what he'll do. You ask him a question, he's going to answer.
And that's the answer, because it's a fair question. It's not the first question you have on your mind after the game, but one of them is, hey, you wanted to go for two. You clearly signaled the fingers up there, and you guys kicked the extra point. What happened? And he's basically telling you, yeah, the coach told me one thing, and then we did something else.
Right.
I think it makes the coach look horrible.
It does.
That's what you take out of it.
I think it's the last takeaway from this game that matters.
Yeah.
They're going for 2 points because ultimately it was non-consequential.
It turned out not to be.
You still gave up two touchdowns at the end of the game.
And it wouldn't
after holding them basically, I don't know, feckless for most of the second half.
And it wouldn't have changed the result. Now, in general, I like going for two up seven when I'm trying to pull off an upset against a really good team. So, for example.
Not? Yeah, it's like, why not?
Yeah, if I'm playing Kansas City, my attitude is I'm not even giving them a chance to tie. I got to make them score twice.
Right.
I don't want to let them have that one opportunity to tie the game. So, to me, it's a game-by-game basis. In this game against Indianapolis, my thought, and remember, this is before the Colts scored that touchdown, so as you pointed out, they were feckless over the last few drives. I was okay kicking the extra point, thinking I don't need to go for two.
Yeah.
I'm going to trust my defense.
It's funny, that's what it felt like.
Yeah.
It felt like, why are you worried? I think I haven't said this. If you're Jeff Ulbrich, you're not worried about going for two because your defense has been doing its job in the second half. Got a turnover right away, took a lead. It didn't feel like they were a threat at all.
But once they scored the touchdown, you quickly realize, uh-oh, they are a threat. Then you think back on it very differently. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Dave on Long Island. What's up, Dave?
Hey, what's up, man?
All's good.
Dave, we got to let you go. Unfortunately, your phone's not working well. Call us back next couple days. We'll definitely pop you up. Let's go to John in Rockaway. What's up, John?
What's going on, guys? I'm a long-time listener. I've been trying to get in for weeks. I had something else I wanted to talk to you about, but I'm going to focus on kickers today.
Go ahead.
We have a fantasy league, and we kind of took it personally with kickers. That's your job. You do it day in and day out. One thing, right? If you are missing kicks from inside the 50, you got to find a new kicker. We're at the point now where we penalize missed kicks under 50 because you have one job.
Right.
Do your job.
Right. So you're saying kickers, it should be 50 should be automatic.
Inside 50 needs to be automatic.
No,
you're focusing on one job all day, day in and day out.
I agree with you. I think what's weird, though, John, is if you look at the kicking leaderboard in 2024, the bottom of the list features a lot of guys who were great.
Yeah.
Like Justin Tucker is now bad.
But how old is he? 36?
Is he that old now? I'm not sure.
I feel like he's been around forever. He might not be that old, but I feel like I've been saying that name for 34.
13th season, 34 years old. But kickers aren't supposed to age.
Who was the Hall of Famer?
Morton Anderson.
Morton Anderson played for the Giants, the Falcons, and about 16 other teams. Right? So he kicked till he was 40.
No, I don't think it's an age thing. I think they're like bullpen arms. They're just so inconsistent. And he's not the only one. Jake Elliott of the Philadelphia Eagles. Like, Jake Elliott used to be good.
Holy cow. Morton Anderson's last kick, he was 47 years old.
See what I'm talking about?
Are you kidding?
Yeah. You don't age when you kick. So it is weird that there are guys who have these great resumes, whether it's Greg Zuerlein. Greg Zuerlein's a great example for us. The guy was automatic. So it's weird because kickers are like relief pitchers.
Yeah.
One year they're amazing and they're fantastic, right. And then the next year they're kicking at a 72% clip and you want them off your roster. And Justin Tucker, Jake Elliott, Greg Zuerlein, they just jump out at you. It's like, what the hell happened?
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.